From the Gospel according to St. John. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put out your hand, and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." I was ordained to the priesthood on this day a few short years ago. For my superiors, it was a free Saturday, the feast of an apostle. For me, it held much more significance, but I had very little choice in the matter. So it seems providential to me that I was ordained on the feast of St. Thomas, a man to whom I owe so much, because St. Thomas is the apostle who converted my ancestors. St. Thomas is so important to my ancestors in southern India that they called themselves the Christians of St. Thomas, and that is what we still call ourselves. Christianity, though, is not something one can inherit. No one is born a Christian. We are baptized, usually as infants, and as adults we may continue to confess this faith, which is God's gift to us. No amount of pride my family takes in 2,000 years of being Catholic can guarantee that the next generation will persevere in the faith. Faith is a gift, and we can pray for our own perseverance and for that of our loved ones, for the grace that they may have a holy and prepared death. I've been to India myself only a couple of times, and it makes me wonder how St. Thomas coped being in an alien land, so far from home, among a strange people, speaking strange tongues. What drove St. Thomas so far from his homeland? Certainly Christ sent his apostles to the ends of the earth, but St. Thomas seems to have gone further than all the others. Most likely he remembered the words of the risen Christ, "Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." He went to India so that they also could be blessed who had not seen and yet believed because of the life and testimony of Thomas. And through his preaching, the Indians also became part of the universal church, of the Church of Christ that is so far and wide in space and time that it embraces everyone and has room for everyone, as St. Paul tells us in the first reading. "So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." And so St. Thomas brought the Catholic Church to India, or rather, he brought the Indians and all their gifts and talents and love into the Catholic Church, enriching the Church certainly, but giving life-giving repentance to the people of India. St. Thomas left no writings, no credible writings, that is, and there is little in the way of conclusive evidence to demonstrate his sojourn in India. Instead, the legacy of St. Thomas is the millions of Christians who today can call themselves the Christians of St. Thomas. St. Thomas is not their savior, but they are part of the church because of St. Thomas. I suppose if even one person comes to faith through God's use of me as his instrument, then he or she could be called a Christian of Leon Pereira. Our motivation, like St. Thomas's, is not to have people named after us, but it is that burning desire for all to be fellow citizens with the blessed, for no one to be left a stranger, that everyone might be part of the Church Catholic, of the body of Christ, Christ who loved them and gave himself up for them. even as he did for us.